I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, in our listening this day, may your word be in the midst of mine. May seeds of love be planted within us, and may they grow to produce the fruit that this world is hungry for. Amen. This time of year, I do my best to take advantage of all the bountiful farmers markets that are beginning to reopen for the season. And I know many of you join me in that endeavor. I love seeing what sorts of delicious beauty the earth has produced and the farmers have harvested for our enjoyment. I have wonderful memories of spring and summer trips with my mom to the local fruit stand to pick up whatever fresh fruit was available. And as I recall, we went back frequently, almost weekly, because, well, fruit isn't something you can stock up on once a year and store away for another day down the road. Fruit is finite, which is why I'm always struck by Jesus' use of this fruit imagery today in words from our gospel reading. Jesus tells his disciples, "I anoint you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." What kind of fruit will last? What kind will not spoil? Fruit, by its very nature, is delicate, short-lived, perishable, precious for the very fact that it will not last. There is nothing better than a perfectly ripe summer peach. I bet you can taste it now. Fragrant and sweet and juicy, and best to be eaten right away. Best to bite right in, to savor the gift that is right now. Because tomorrow or the next day, it will be past its prime. It may even be mealy or brown or look rather appealing to the fruit flies. Or think of the hurry to consume those delicate red raspberries before they turn to mush in your fridge. There's no saving them for a few weeks from now or setting them aside until we really need them. Their perfection is for now. So what could Jesus have possibly meant when he directed his followers to bear fruit that will last? I know that Jesus wasn't suggesting that we bear actual edible fruit like a tree or a vine, something you might find at a farmer's market. But as someone who had such a way with words, who used ordinary things like bread and fish, copper coins and sheep, to paint the most extraordinary pictures of love and discipleship and the kingdom of God, I trust that Jesus used this image of fruit on purpose. But I must admit, in a world where we value convenience and ease, and where we expect things to be ripe and ready when we need or want them to be, shelf-stable and everlasting, I wonder if he has misplaced the metaphor this time, or whether he might have found a better way of describing the kind of everlasting kingdom legacy that he wants his disciples to uphold. Perhaps more appropriate would have been a commandment to build a stone wall that won't crumble. Stone, now there's something that lasts. Or perhaps to model their discipleship like something made from iron or steel, able to withstand the test of time, something that cannot be bruised or crushed or destroyed, no matter what. But something about that doesn't sound quite right either. Jesus shares these fruit-filled thoughts with his disciples as parting words, part of his farewell discourse. He has just finished washing their feet, stooping down in love to tenderly wipe away dirt accumulated on the journey to welcome and witness and bless and heal the bruised, the outcast, the forgotten, the fragile, the hopeless, and the vulnerable. These are the last words that Jesus shares with his dearest friends and followers before his arrest and crucifixion. I imagine that Jesus is keenly aware, painfully aware, particularly at this moment in time, of the fragility and vulnerability and finiteness of life, how easily it can spoil, and how very precious it is, like sweet, freshly picked fruit, here for a season and gone just as quickly. Though we often speak of faith in terms of strength, the very heart of our faith is a tender one. Faith, and the love of God at the core of it, is all about lasting and everlasting, yes, but not because it's untouchable or preserved, or because it's made of stone or steel, or because it doesn't fall or bruise or even die. On this side of Holy Week and Easter, we know painfully well about what lasts and what doesn't. We know that our human life and the bodies we inhabit are precious and fragile, but that death doesn't stand in the way of life everlasting. In fact, it is through Christ's vulnerability that we draw the most strength. We worship and follow a Savior who suffered and suffers with us, who bruised and fell and even died, and yet who lived and who lives with us too. Faith, the love of God, the life of Christ, lasts because it is but a seed that contains within it the hope of new life and new growth. After the fruit falls, after the tender flesh spoils, when there is nothing left but the seed or the pit sunk into the darkness of the ground, that seed might just put down roots. Shoots unfurl and reach for the sun. Buds turn to blossoms, and blossoms in their season turn again to fruit. Fruit, too, is delicate and finite, but it, too, does last. Not because it's preserved, or because it's made of stone, or because it doesn't fall or bruise or die. Fruit lasts because within it lies the hope of growth. Fruit lasts because it contains the seed, seed for tomorrow's fruit, just waiting to take hold. As Jesus sits with his disciples, facing head first the reality of his own death, his own finite and fragile life, the image of precious, delicate fruit might have been of comfort to him. That his disciples would go on, not to construct towers and monuments and statues made of hard, long-lasting stone that would tell of Christ's life and God's love, but that they would go out and go on to be seeds, to scatter themselves and to live into the commandment of love, to bear tender fruit that will keep growing, even in the midst of death and decay. That is the kind of lasting fruit that Jesus is talking about. And our call in the midst of it all is the same call of the disciples, to be the gardeners. Jesus said, "Remember the root command, love one another." That's Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase of verse 17. Remember the root command, love one another. It works beautifully here. The root command, the one that anchors us in place, the one that feeds the plant that produces the fruit that contains the seed, is love. Love one another in ways that are alive. Something that stone or steel or iron will never be. Love one another in ways that inspire regrowth, in ways that spread hope and pollinate potential and regenerate redemption in ways that live on and last. I recently came across a children's book entitled We Are the Gardeners, written by popular HGTV designer Joanna Gaines and her children. They tell the story of their growing love of planting and tending and nurturing the growth in their own backyard. The first page of the book says this: We are the gardeners. That's a pretty official title, but we didn't start out that way. Just like our garden, we started small and grew from there. Some say that a garden just grows from seeds, but we think it grows from trying and failing and trying again. A garden is hard work, but so is most of the good, important stuff in life. What the world needs now, in addition to love, sweet love, are gardeners. We are called to love one another as Christ has loved us, and to bear the fruit of that love in ways that will last, in ways that regenerate and inspire growth. We are called to plant seeds of empathy, perseverance, love, and hope in the face of oppression, violence, separation, anger, and misplaced resentment. To allow those seeds, however small they may be, to sink deep into dark dirt, where they can put down roots until shoots unfurl and buds turn to blossoms and blossoms turn again to fruit. And we are called to hold that precious fruit in our hands, knowing that its fragility is what makes it so sweet. Not meant to be hoarded or stored up or rationed or set aside for tomorrow, but meant to be enjoyed and shared and savored. Being a gardener is not easy work, but then again, most of the good, important stuff in life rarely ever is. We will most certainly try and fail and try again as we do our best to live into the commandment that Christ lays before us this day. But my prayer is that we, in the midst of it, become people of root and fruit, caretakers, tenders, gardeners of the love that Christ has planted deep within our hearts and all around us. May it be so. Amen.